Welcome to Power Your Profits Podcast, your friendly guide in bringing your business revenue to the next level. Listen as host Susie Carter hears inspiring stories of success from her fellow entrepreneurs and transformational leaders. Prepare to make significant change to your strategies as they unravel the secrets of building multi-million dollar businesses and the most effective tips on finance, marketing, and sales accountability. If you want to make your first step towards explosive business growth, this is the right podcast for you. Without further ado, here is your host, Susie.
Welcome to Power Your Profit Podcast. I'm your host, Susie Carter, and I have an amazing guest today. She is an entrepreneur coach. She believes that entrepreneurship is the way to create unlimited wealth and freedom. Whether you're ready to make your first dollar or your first million, the entrepreneur coach, Bree Seeley, will help you create long-term sustainable success on your terms. She is ready to bust that glass ceiling. Bree, thank you so much. I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited to introduce our tribe to you because you're new to our tribe and new to our community. And I got to tell you, another secret weapon. I'm just saying. So Bree, tell everybody who you are, who you serve, and what your sweet spot is.
I am Bree Seeley. I am the entrepreneur coach, and I really help women to abandon the wage paradigm so that they can become the ultimate source of wealth for themselves through entrepreneurship.
Oh my God, I love that. The wage paradigm. Talk a little bit more about that, because I think that is new language, which I love. Yes. Introducing us all to new language. Like, what is the wage paradigm and how to use entrepreneurship to leverage that?
Yeah. So one of the things that I really realized, you mentioned your three buckets, right? The kind of startup entrepreneurs, the entrepreneurs that are kind of in the middle, and then the scaled entrepreneurs. So I work a lot with the new entrepreneurs. And one thing that I heard over and over and over and over again, I essentially don't trust myself to make the money I need to make to support myself. I can't quit my job because it's stable and secure. Well, right. I can't start a business because it's going to be inconsistent income. So there's this mentality that I think especially women have that in order to have a stable income, we need to have a job. We need to have a wage. Someone else needs to pay us in order for us to have a stable, steady income. And one of the things that I've found in my entrepreneurial journey over the last 15 years is that's actually not security or stability. I am my security and my stability. Right. My ability to create my wealth is way more predictable and stable than putting my hands into someone else who could wake up tomorrow and fire me overnight, right? So I work with a lot of women to build their businesses while they're abandoning this idea that they need someone else to pay them in order to be stable and secure. Let's transition you into becoming the creator, becoming the foundation of your wealth so that you can do the things you want, make the impact you want, have the life you want, et cetera.
Oh my God, I love that, because there's such a mindset that goes with entrepreneurship that you don't even know that you don't even know that you don't know until you're in it. And then it just keeps sabotaging you because you're in that security, which is a false sense of reality. I love, love, love that. And this business that you have, this is not your first business. So tell us your journey, your story. How many businesses have you had? There's a plethora of knowledge just in that, in having multiple businesses.
I started my first business when I was 23. I had just graduated with my master's and my bachelor's, both in fashion design. So I started a fashion company. I had my own fashion label for 8 years. And it started off just as kind of a side hustle, right? I also had the paradigm that I needed a job in order to be stable. So I had my day job, and then I would make custom flower girl dresses, bridesmaids dresses, homecoming, prom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That ended up growing over the course of 8 years. When I closed that business, I was dressing Toni Braxton, doing major red carpet events in LA. I was on The Bachelor, not as me, my dresses were on The Bachelor, clarification point. I was selling on Zappos.com. I was doing LA Fashion Week. I won Phoenix Fashion Week, all these things. But what I realized was I was still operating in that wage paradigm. And so while my business had begun self-sustaining, it wasn't sustaining me. And it was burning me out. I had no energy left at the end of the day. I felt like I was running on a hamster wheel. And if you've had hamsters, hamster wheels don't actually go anywhere. And I got to the point where I kind of hit a wall, and in meditation one day heard a very clear, fashion isn't it, shut it down, walk away. And I did.
And I love it because that's so scary. And you listened, right?
Yeah. And I had no plans. I had said 6 months prior, if I didn't have fashion, that I didn't have a reason to be present on this planet. Here I am thinking that it's my only reason to be alive, and I walk away from it. So I kind of ventured in and was like, all right, universe, if you're giving me this sign, this message, then show me what's the next step. I started cleaning out my inbox one day and I realized I had all these emails from these women being like, teach me to do what you've done. How have you been on the Today Show? How have you written for Huffington Post? How have you done all these amazing things? So I was like, oh, well, while I was building my fashion business, I had a counseling job. So I was like, well, I have 8 years of experience as a business owner, 8 years of experience as a counselor. What if I just like started helping these people that are asking for my help? And so I learned a lot through having that fashion business and from walking away from it. But I think the biggest thing was I learned to kind of rely on myself because I also quit my job. So I didn't have an income. I didn't have a business. And the only thing that was going to get me on the other side of that was me.
Yeah, I love that. And so despite walking away, you're still passionate about entrepreneurship. So why?
So what I found was, and what I realized was that I love business and I love entrepreneurship and I love fashion, but I didn't love the business of fashion. My passion for entrepreneurship and the freedom that it brings and the impact that it brings and the ability for me to create my life as I want to, all of that was still present. I just didn't really like the iteration that I was experiencing it in. Having a fashion business, I had a 600-pound sewing machine, right? So like, talk about the antithesis of freedom. I literally right. felt like a ball and chain. Like I literally felt tethered to my office in downtown LA, whereas I wanted to be out. Now my office is my laptop. This morning I was in a cafe working. Tomorrow I have some meetings, so I'm going to go out and work. Like I have the freedom now to move around as I wish. And so really the entrepreneurship thing stayed consistent, but I reevaluated my values around what was important to me and how I wanted to express entrepreneurship. And then I started to see the power of entrepreneurship for all the other women in the world as well and what that could bring them. So I fully hung my flag on entrepreneurship. Like that is, I believe, what is going to close the wage gap. I believe that it is going to be the turning point for women. I fully bought into entrepreneurship. It just now looks different than it used to.
Well, I went from the beauty industry to entrepreneurship, right? And then I was scared in the beginning and I realized business. So do you have a specific niche that you work in, or are women coming just from everywhere now?
Women are coming from everywhere now because, like you said, business is business. So the way I teach, it's like a skeleton. Pretty much every skeleton has the same structure in the yeah. same configuration. But then what goes on top of the skeleton is different for every single one of us. So I start with that skeleton approach of you need a business bank account, you need a business entity, you need marketing, you need a website. And then what we layer on top of that becomes unique and custom to every single person, pending their business, their clients, their goals, things like that.
Yes, delicious. And so what do you see the biggest mistake? I love that you use entrepreneurship as wealth creation because most people create a job for themselves, right? They're not looking at entrepreneurship as a way out of the job. They just, now they have an expensive job, right? And they're making less than they did when they had a job. So let's talk more about that, because I love that distinction that you're really looking at entrepreneurship as wealth creation. So what do you see the biggest mistake is when it comes to wealth creation for entrepreneurs?
I see a lot of entrepreneurs, especially like we talked about the really new ones and then the kind of like mid-tier ones, they set goals and then their actions every single day are busy work. And yeah. so it's almost like their goals are on one side and their actions are on a completely different side and they're not bridged at all. So I see a lot of people having these big goals, but then waking up every day being like, well, I don't know how to get to that goal. So I'm just gonna post on Instagram. I'm just gonna write an email newsletter. Like all these little kind of like busy work things, right? Entrepreneurs are so busy. Majority of entrepreneurs I talk to aren't actually taking the actions to get to those goals that they've set for themselves.
And how do you help them see that? How do you help them solve that? Because that is a skill in itself. Like it sounds so easy. like people think, right? It's not. You're almost looking underneath the hood and going, here's where your stop block is.
Yep. So I do it in kind of three different buckets, like you talked about as well. First off, your mindset, because what happens is your mindset then informs your habits, which is the second bucket, which then inform your actions, which is the third bucket. So we look at your mindset. What are you telling yourself? What stories are you telling yourself? Are you still held on to that idea that, like, I actually can't create the wealth that I want to create in my life? And so you just disempower yourself and you tell all these stories and keep yourselves from taking the actions towards that wealth generation. Then, of course, the mindset contributes to the habits. What are you doing every day on a daily basis? Are you taking wealth creation actions in your business every single day? Are you taking care of yourself every single day? Do you have a morning routine or ritual or thing that you do to put yourself in that wealth creation mode so that you can then move to bucket three and take those actions? And when I talk about actions with people, I have a whole system that I use to break those yearly goals down into today's actions so that you can know what I'm doing today is feeding my weekly goals, which is feeding my monthly goals, which is feeding my quarterly goals, which is leading me directly to accomplishing that yearly vision that I have simply from this one step that I'm taking today.
I love that. You said daily actions for creating your wealth creating actions. So what are some examples that you have entrepreneurs for their wealth creating actions?
So I really like to distinguish between like passive actions and bold actions. So again, passive actions, like I mentioned earlier, is like, I'm just going to post on Instagram or I'm just going to put this thing here and hope someone sees it. Bold actions are, who can I talk to? Did someone reach out and inquire that never followed up? Can I set up a call with them to have a sales conversation? Is there a partnership I could develop to get in front of someone else's audience to provide value, to help them take the next step that would then inspire them to reach out to me, right? So bold actions, generally people are a little more hesitant to take because you could reach out to Susie Carter to be on her podcast and she could tell you no. You could call that past client to ask for a referral and they could say no. You could follow up with that person who said they were interested and they could tell you that they've decided not to move forward, right? So there's a lot of fears that people have wrapped up in taking those bold actions because there's rejection with it versus if you just post on Instagram, pretty safe, right? Mm-hmm. So those wealth creation actions are getting in front of the right people, having the right conversations, partnering with the right people, doing the things that you need to do to get in front of the people you need to get in front of to make the sales that you want to make.
I love it. We talk about what's the highest income producing activity only you can do. Those are the highest income producing activities. So all of you, when I say that, and you're like, I don't even know what she's talking about. That's what we're talking about. I think that's a delicious way to give that example. So thanks, Brie. I appreciate it.
The other thing I tell people too is oftentimes when you're thinking in the morning of what you could be doing that day to generate income in your business, when you think of something and your mind immediately says, oh no, we can't do that. That's the exact action. That action should be moved up to your number one priority for the day because our mind talks us out of the scariest actions. And it's always the scariest actions that produce the biggest results for us. So,
oh my gosh, so many times, like I would waste a whole day putting that off because I was scared. And so I love that. Put it first and get it over with, and then take your nap, right? Yes. I'd wipe myself out because I was so scared. And then I finally make the phone call or I'm like, I had to get out.
Yep. And I always think too, like if you wait till the end of the day, you've already taken that action mentally 100 times before you actually do it physically. And that's why you're exhausted because you've already done the action 100 times before you've actually done the action. So if you just do it first thing, you then only have to do it once instead of 101 times. And then you can move on with the rest of your day. Cause usually too, once you do it, it's done. You're relieved. It's easier than you thought it was going to be. And everything else for the rest of the day is just going to be cake.
Exactly. So let's shift just a little bit. Cause I think that my biggest lessons have not been in my wins. My biggest lessons of God, I wish I would have known then what I know now. So what's been to this point, and I say this point because we're entrepreneurs, your biggest failure or your biggest learning experience, however you want to label it, and then what did you learn from that?
I mean, I really think it came through my fashion business because when I say all these things, that's truly what I was doing in my fashion business, right? I said earlier, running on that hamster wheel. I was doing all of this busy work in my fashion business. Ask me how many sales calls I had in my fashion business in 8 years.
How many?
I could probably count them on one hand. So I had the perfect website. I had the perfect social media. I had the press strategy. I mean, I was featured in all of the top press outlets in fashion, on the cover of one of them. All of these amazing accolades and accomplishments, yet I wasn't taking those wealth creation actions. And so when I switched into this business, I knew that something had to change. And I hired a coach and she was like, this is why. And now you get to do things differently. You change your mindset, you change your habits, you change your actions. It's been the exact process I've been on. And I was able to go from literally not being able to pay my rent to creating a six-figure business in under 9 months because of all of this stuff. So like you said, I learned a lot from failing in my fashion business. And it's changed everything about this business now.
I love that. And so what has been your wealth strategies, right? So you use entrepreneurship as one, I do too, right? I've got several businesses. And so what's been your wealth strategy to date?
Yeah, so entrepreneurship has been my main one to date. Honestly, like I'm actually in a season of change right now. This year has been really transformative for me because I'm starting to see an even bigger picture. And so I am an employee of my business. And of course, so that's part of it, but also my business is part of it. I'm actually launching a nonprofit next year, and I will be starting with my first women's activation event in Tulsa in May of next year. It's going to be 3 days, and that's going to be the crux for then building a nonprofit on top of that, which I'm really excited about. It's also going to let me do fundraising in a way I've never done fundraising, getting some brands and some companies to also be backing me and what I'm building and how I'm influencing female entrepreneurs. And then this year, I bought my second with my boyfriend, and we were lucky to get a house that has an attached mother-in-law unit on it. So right now, how that's looking is we make our mortgage every single month from Airbnb, that mother-in-law unit. Then, of course, that gives us all sorts of tax deductions as well for our home that we're living in. And then at some point, we'll turn this into a dual income property and then move on to our next one, which I think will probably then be turned into another income generating property and just starting to build out from there.
I love it. I think what's consistent when I ask that question is there's always some kind of real estate play. I've built the majority of my wealth in real estate. Now my business has always given me the money to build and to buy and invest. You have to be savvy and frugal and not spend every dollar that you make, which we talked about in the green room. You're first looking to buy the things, buy your success, buy the notoriety, look good, have all the right things, whatever the right things are. And so I love that you share that because it's part of our philosophy as well. So Brie, looking back in your life, right? Not that it's over. We still got a ton of life left in us. What do you want to be remembered for? If you had to be remembered for one thing, what would it be?
Honestly, I want to be remembered for ending the glass ceiling once. And I want women to stop putting their energy towards fighting something that's never going to change and start putting their energy towards creating something that has the possibility to revolutionize the world.
I love that. That takes bravery, right? So when you're up to big things, you've got to have someone that stands behind you, beside you, in front of you, wherever they need to stand to support you in taking that brave, bold move. When I started entrepreneurship, I was just ignorant. Ignorance was bliss. I was ignorance on fire, and then learned, oh, this is harder. So how can our students get a hold of you? And you have a prize, and we love prizes. So talk to us about your prize that you're giving us and how do we stay in contact with you? Because we have a lot of students that would love, love, love to learn from you.
Yeah. So the easiest and quickest way to stay in contact with me is I am all over Instagram. It's my favorite platform and part of the reason I love it. So you can find me at Brie Seeley. I want you to send me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was from this episode. I will check all of my other messages. I respond to everyone. So would love to hear from you what you took away from Susie and Maya's talk. And then my free gift is to help you start building yourself as that foundation for wealth. Stop riding the roller coaster of inconsistent income and like really start to build in consistent guaranteed income in your business. So it's a workbook. It's going to help you learn the three principles to consistent wealth in your business, so that you can thrive as that profitable entrepreneur that you deserve to be.
And remember, it doesn't have to be hard. It has to be strategic. You've got to find the right people that you resonate. So I'm glad to introduce you to Bree Seeley. Bree, thank you for your time. In the show notes, it's BreeSeeley.com/power. Make sure it's in there and you'll click on that. And again, DM her so she can know that you came from our tribe. She loves our community. So Bree, thank you for your day. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your expertise, your wisdom, but more importantly, the courage to change and the courage to be a badass woman in the world, making a profound difference. I'm your sister in the journey and I appreciate you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Power Your Profits podcast. Let these building blocks from today's most successful industry leaders equip you with the necessary resources and tools to finally establish the highly profitable business of your dreams. Want to hear more? Listen to more episodes at https://poweryourprofitspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the show. Now is your time to rise to the top of your game. So be sure to catch our next episode. Until next time.